Good morning. My name is Greg Frank. I'm the hearings officer that's going to be hearing your cases today. This is case number 212-0016. It is a City of Portland in a code city code violation complaint, City of Portland versus Tyrone Hines. Is that you, sir?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'm going to ask you to do, Mr. Hines, is you can either move your chair or move the microphone, but I don't care which, but this is a goofy system, okay? And the system requires you to almost swallow the stupid thing. I feel like I've got something sticking out of my throat, but I really need you to do that. Okay. And the reason that I do that is this is a recorded hearing. It is actually being recorded as I'm speaking, and anything else, it's recorded. And the recording will become available on the internet, on the web, in either today or, but usually it's about 3 days. And so we want to make sure that only one person talks at a time, but more importantly is we want to make sure that whoever's speaking is speaking directly into the microphone, because the cases that I decide here are appealable at another level to the circuit court. In other words, it becomes a real court thing. And we have to make, there has to be a transcription or a transcript made of the proceeding. So it's really important that whoever's speaking is speaking right in the microphone, so we know exactly what's said. And that's, we just don't want to short shrift anybody, you or the city representative or anyone else. So that's the recording. We gave you a little list. I call it the baseball scorecard because I like baseball, but it's the baseball scorecard, and it shows that there have been a number of documents put into my file. This is the file that I have now, that they've been put in there. I haven't read them. I don't read anything because I don't want to read it before the hearing, because I don't know what you may object to me looking at. And so two sides of the coin. Number one is nothing on this list has been admitted into the record. So I will consider nothing on that list at this point. If you wish, either one of you wish something to be put into the record that I look at, you have to say so. And the best way is, just like baseball players are given numbers, every exhibit is given a number. And I would ask that you reference the exhibit number that you're talking about when you say, I want exhibit one into the record. Or you can, some people in the hearing we just finished that you were watching, they said, I'd like exhibits one through and including 36 into the record. And you don't have to do it one by one, is what I'm trying to tell you. Let me give you a hypothetical. Let's assume that the city representative says, I want exhibits one through and including 19 in the record. Mr. Hines, you'd have the ability to simply say, well, I don't think you ought to look at this one, and I don't think you ought to look at this one. And you can tell me which numbers you don't want me to look at. Lawyer talk, that's you have the right to object to the admission of any of those documents. And so that but I'm putting obligations on both of you. Somebody, if they say I want it in, that's your obligation. And the other person has an obligation to see, either agree or disagree that that should be something that I look at. So it's, you have a fair amount of control over this process, but with that control comes responsibility, and that responsibility is you got to tell me. Silence is not golden here. One at a time, but silence is not golden. All right. The process, let me talk about a couple things before that. Number one is, my name is Greg Frank. I am a hearings officer employed by the City of Portland Auditor's Office. I do not work for the Bureau of Environmental Services. I don't work for Planning and Sustainability. I don't work for anybody else. I work for the auditor. And if you think about the word auditor, that's kind of somebody that looks and tries to get things right. Well, that's my philosophy, is that I really don't care who wins. Don't care at all. But what I do care about is I treat you respectfully. I listen to you. And secondly is I take into consideration the appropriate or relevant laws in the case and apply whatever the testimony or the evidence that comes in the record. That's my job. And I take that part really seriously. Okay, so that's what I do. I have no bias in my opinion towards the city or against the city. I fine on a regular basis against the city. I fine on a regular basis for the city. It doesn't matter to me. But that's who I am and what I'm supposed to do. All right. What do I expect of you? Just be honest and tell me what you want to tell me, and I'll give you that opportunity to do that. All right. There are certain things that people want me to do, and some of those things I can, And those things that I can do are given rights given to me by the Portland City Council through the Portland City Code. And there's a lot of things that I can't do, and that's to make this a better place. I can't make this a good world. I can't make everybody respect everybody perfectly. I can't do a whole lot of things. Even if I order it, I can't do it. So there's some things that I can't do. So I am obligated to follow the Portland City Code because that becomes my roadmap and rules that I have to follow. So that's who I am and what I'm supposed to do. I expect you to tell me what you want to tell me. I will ask the city representative to give the city's case first. When the city's representative has completed his testimony, Mr. Hines, I will ask you if you have any questions. For those people that don't come to hearings very often, which is probably a really good way to go through life, but if you don't come to hearings very often, you tend to get a little mixed up on the question part. What I need you to do is when you ask questions, just ask one at a time and let the person answer. That is so hard because a lot of times you have a bunch of questions. Ask one question at a time and let him answer. I'm not going to put a limit on the number of questions you can ask. I just ask that those questions are relevant to the case we have here today. So the city representative will testify first. You have the right to ask questions. If you don't have any questions, that's fine. I'm not going to hold that against you. If the city has any additional witnesses, the city can call those witnesses. When the city's position's done, then you'll be able to testify. If you testify, then the city representative is going to have an opportunity to ask you questions. He has the same obligations, one at a time, let you answer. Don't put any limits on it. We tend not to have opening statements like a real trial. I tend to allow each person, though, at the end of the hearing to kind of summarize what they want me to do. And I think so you'll in essence get to tell me sort of twice what it is you want. So I give you that opportunity. I find non-lawyers given three opportunities, an opening statement, the testimony, and closing argument, I hear the same thing three times. I'm willing to do that twice, unless you make a big deal out of it and want it all three. So that's kind of the process that we're going to use today. Do either of you have any questions on the process? Mm-hmm. All right. Before we get started, I'm going to ask first name, last name, spell your last name, give us your mailing address that you wish to use in the hearing, and then Mr. Hines, I'll do the same thing for you.
My name is Christopher Collette, Collett.
Your address, please.
1120 Southwest 5th Avenue, room 1000, Portland, Oregon, 97214.
And you're with the Bureau of Environmental Service, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Mr. Hines, if you'll identify yourself, please.
Tyrone Hines, H-I-N-E-S, 77 Northeast San Rafael Street, 97212.
All right. Do either of you have any questions that you want to ask me before we start?
No.
All right, Mr. Collette, you may start. Would you raise your right hand, please? You solemnly swear a firm testimony about to give the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
What would you like to tell me?
This property is a residential property that requires disposal of sewage. The property is connected to the public sewer system via a party sewer, with the property addressed as 2017 Northeast Rodney Street. The private sewer line that serves this property crosses the property line between the two properties and connects to the private sewer system used to connect 1217 Northeast Rodney Street. This fact was established by BES staff. They viewed a sewer scope submitted by the property owners of 2017 Northeast Rodney. A public sewer exists in Northeast San Rafael, and Mr. Hines' property has direct access that is in front of the house. BES could find no record of easements granting access to the sewer through 2017 Northeast Rodney. This property has received all notification letters required under city code and is delinquent on the requirement to connect before February 14th, 2009. I posted the property as a public nuisance on March 8th, 2011 and have waited longer than the required 30 days for the property owner to abate the public nuisance. I granted a deferral on August 24th, 2011 and set the sewer conversion due date at February 29th, 2012. The deferral has expired, and as of today, and to my best knowledge, this property has not abandoned its non-conforming private sewer connection, nor has it connected via an approved route of sewer service.
Anything further, sir? Anything further?
Is it appropriate now to ask that you accept exhibits 1 through 19?
It is always 19. Appropriate, whenever, at any time. Mr. Hines, do you have any objections to the admission of exhibits 1 through and including 19?
No.
I will admit then exhibits 1 through and including 19. Mr. Hines, this is your opportunity to ask any questions of Mr. Collette.
I don't specifically have any questions for Mr. Collette. I do have some extenuating circumstances for.
Okay, we'll allow you to. Would you raise your right hand, please?
Yes.
You solemnly swear a firm testimony about to give us truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, I do.
Speak right into the microphone. This is where loud is better.
Okay. I was involved in an automobile accident on the 21st of August, 2011. I had my spleen removed. I fractured my sternum, damage to my knees and shoulder, and it's been a long time recovering. I'm still recovering. I'm scheduled to have my knees replaced during this summer. I haven't been able to work. I am not contesting anything. The letters, I have to admit that I have not read them. Many of them I've definitely have read the letters telling me of this hearing. I am requesting that this hearing, that you allow me to have a little bit more time to make the conversion. I have been attempting to get things situated at my property to have the conversion done, but I have not been up to the task to this point. I will, with a little bit more time, be able to take care of the conversion. Again, I have no problem with the city, but my physical condition has been devastating to my life. I have not been able to carry on adequately, and because of that, I again am asking a little bit more time for the conversion. A few things that I'd like to say, comment to the auditor's office. When the accident occurred, the officer that arrived at the scene did not consider my injuries trauma, although I was semi-conscious. I was loaded into the ambulance by bicyclists who had been riding by. The person who caused the accident made an illegal turn across Greeley Street to enter the southbound lanes, and I ran into him. He had open alcohol containers in his car. None of these statements were contested. The officer stated, Officer Habkirk stated that he saw open alcohol containers in his car, in his van. The person told him that the alcohol containers opened on collision. Now, if you have a six-pack or a case of beer in the back of your vehicle and someone runs into your driver's side door, that's not going to open up alcohol containers. I filed a complaint with the city of Portland for not doing anything about this. They investigated it. The officer restated his comments about my injuries not being trauma, finding alcohol containers open in the car, not testing this person for drugs or alcohol on a trauma injury. The auditor's office investigated it. Initially, they agreed with me that it sounded kind of fishy to why would an officer not test a person causing an accident, almost taking my life. After they contacted the police and discussed this situation, they determined to do nothing. Now, this statement, it bothers me to say it, but when I read the news and I hear about incidents happening in the black community, now the person who caused the accident was white, the officer was white, and I am black. When crimes are committed in the black community and the police discuss issues with residents, black residents in the black community, and they complain about not getting cooperation, I believe that this is part of the reason why. That if you don't respect an individual who has been victimized by a crime committed by a white person, and you brush it off, then why would you expect individuals in that community to cooperate with you when crimes are committed? This statement is for the auditor's office, since I am not able to get through to them to understand what they have done. I was pretty much a non-entity, brushed aside, taken to the hospital. And it still bothers me. In the statement, no, this is nothing to do with my non-compliance. I just wanted to get that out to you because I think that it's relevant to the interactions of people in the community. I don't have much money. I apologize for not responding and reading all of the mailings. And if this body is wanting or able to, I would appreciate some consideration for the fact that I have been going through some physical conditions that when I wake up in the morning, it's hard to get out of bed. It's hard to get my knees to operate. And that's all I have to say. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hines. Any questions, Mr. Claude?
None.
Either of you want to summarize where you want to go, either one of you want anything more to say in this hearing. I guess that's what I'm asking.
Well, I would just like to offer what I would like to see how we move forward. the Bureau of Environmental Services has a program called the Safety Net Loan Program. And this program was established to assist people that have are on low income, fixed incomes and things like that. If Mr. Hines is willing to complete the application, accept a private plumbing loan that will allow him to finance the contractor costs. That's all that needs to be done, is a contractor needs to be hired to come on out and connect the property. I would be satisfied.
Mr. Hines?
I would accept that.
All right. Let me talk. I don't get this is a unique case to me because I don't get mandatory sewer connections cases that often. So compared to the case that you walked into at the end, we do an awful lot of those kind of cases. So I'm familiar with that particular title of the code. I'm not much of a whiz when it comes to this, and so I'd have to go back and look at it. So I'm asking these questions not out of knowledge. I'm asking those probably out of place, am I? How long does it take to move through the process to have a loan approved under the safety net?
Usually not more than 2 weeks. I depend on the applicant, of course, to complete the application. I need verifications of income, savings accounts, things like that, to verify that he does meet the qualifiers for the loan. At that point, then, I would need him to accept the agreement and the contract, so he would have to sign the contracts. And then, lastly, I would need him to make arrangements with the contractor to complete the work.
Anything in those comments from Mr. Collette that cause you concern, Mr. Hines?
No.
So your offices are in the Portland building, correct?
Partially. I'm actually located in Pioneer Tower, but I can be contacted through the reception desk at the 10th floor of the Portland building.
All right. I'm trying to figure out how I get this particular person's bodied in its condition, because we're not going to have you run up and down the stairs, I don't think. But I want to make sure he gets there in a time and in a fashion that's doable. I'm trying to take into consideration the physical limitations. So when do you believe that you could get in and get this filled out, Mr. Hines?
I can fill it out. I've actually contacted some contractors.
Okay, let me rephrase. I don't mean to be rude. Let me go back. I want to talk about the loan. The application that I'm concerned with is something you'd have to deal with Mr. Collette, at least indirectly, but you're going to have to deal with Mr. Collette on when can you get to his offices so that you can complete the application.
We can make a date and I can show up and meet with you.
Is that acceptable, Mr. Collette?
Acceptable. I brought the application with me today, so after the hearing we can even go down to the lobby and start it.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm trying to figure out, will it make any difference in the order that I issue whether or not he completes the application and if he qualifies, goes through that program?
Well, if I understand that correctly, the order would just simply be an acknowledgement that this has to go forward, that if he doesn't complete the safety net loan application and resolve the nonconforming, then it would be my intent to pursue, an order and ultimately civil court if I have to go that route.
All right, here's what I propose to do. Okay, I propose to Mr. Hines, what I'm doing in essence is fighting against you. Okay, so take that and just put it aside for the moment. And quite honestly, based on your testimony, I wouldn't have any choice anyway, because you've acknowledged that it is that what Mr. Collette said was correct, and so I'm going to do that. What I'm going to do, though, is I will not sign the order probably for a week.
Okay.
What that does is gives you an additional week to get in, get the application, start the process, and follow through with Mr. Collette. It seems to me, and like I say, I'm not a whiz or expert at this program, so I'm not trying to to impose my knowledge. I'm imposing my hope. But what it appears to me is that Mr. Collette can perhaps be the avenue or the means in which to get where we all want to go, and perhaps do so in a way that is financially feasible for you. I mean, like I say, I'm not the expert in this, but what I'll do is I'll make a note to myself to sign the order no later than next Friday. That means that there's an appeal period to the circuit court, which is difficult, and based on your admissions here, it would be really difficult. But then there's my order starts a process if, in fact, you can take Mr. Collette's loan process. It may well satisfy you both. So do you understand?
Yes.
What I'm doing is delaying just simply signing my order, which says thou shalt, and it'll hold it off for about a week and give you just a little bit more time. I know that may not be as much time as you wanted, but I think Mr. Collette suggested an alternative that may solve the problem anyway. All right, any questions?
No.
Mr. Hines?
No questions.
All right, and just as the unauthorized editorial comment, I do work for the auditor's office. I am separate and distinct from the independent police review. I am neither agreeing or disagreeing with their decision, because one thing I've learned in life, especially sitting here, is unless I know all the facts, I don't know why people did what they did. But based on your conversation, yes, it sounds to me like your physical, your physical condition has definitely impact your ability to respond to the Bureau of Environmental Services and get this done. It has also affected your life well beyond that, and I appreciate that. I am neither making excuses for white police officers or black police officers or white men or black men. That's simply inappropriate for me. I respect you. I believe what you had to say today. But it's simply beyond my position to be able to modify or change what's happened if you went through the independent police review process. I simply have no ability to usurp their authority and simply say they were right or wrong, and wouldn't do so based on the fact that I don't know a whole lot of the story. But I am incredibly sympathetic. And I think, there is a... The way you presented it actually was very effective, and I'm not sure if you've appeared before City Council on their Wednesday morning. I always forget what they call it. It's not an open mic, but it's a, what do they call it? Communications. They have an open communications. You sign up, and you have to sign up a week or two or three or whatever ahead of time. But the point that resonated to me is that without the trust between a portion of the community that may be black and the police bureau, that trust goes a long ways to getting the cooperation, reciprocal cooperation back. And that part actually resonated very deeply to me, is that is really an important, that is really important to me. You can't go in front of City Council and have them change the independent police review decision. So that's not going to be effective. But you testified in a very meaningful, sincere way that makes me really think, and it gets me. So I want to understand that I sympathize with your physical condition. I also sympathize with your political position, that trust is a two-way street, and it has to occur both ways. So I appreciate that. If you would come out before you leave, we have a very imposing looking glass window out in front. So you've got the door and take a left, and we'll give you some information on speaking in front of City Council. You are a very, very well-spoken person, and I'm not so sure that your comments would be I think they would be taken into consideration. Maybe not to solve your individual problem, but I think you're really trying to solve a bigger problem. So I thank you for that. We'll close the hearing. I will sign this order, but not until next week by Friday. Thank you.